Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated July 5th, 2016. We'll begin today with the article featured on the very front page, and the headline reads, "Not Enough Nurses, Nursing Shortage Affecting Decatur." This article was written by Justin Kahn. In a 20-mile radius of Macon County, there are 1,059 openings for registered nurses. How will all those positions get filled? That's a question healthcare providers in this area and all over the country are trying to figure out. Macon County alone can't provide its own nursing workforce. There are just 54 RNs in Macon County looking for work. How scary is that, said Lori Brown, Regional Director of Operations for Christian Homes Incorporated, which includes Hickory Point Christian Village. Denise Smith, Director of People Services for HSHS, St. Mary's Hospital, said the nursing shortage could potentially get worse. Quote, "The demand is going to be there. It's only going to increase," Smith said. "You're seeing growth in preventative care, but you're also seeing more obesity and diabetes, health problems that are going to require attention. The baby boomers are also living longer, and there's more access to care under the Affordable Care Act." Quote, "All that is adding up to a lot of opportunities for nurses right now." Smith said the U.S. Bureau of Labor has indicated there will be a 16% increase in the number of registered nurses by 2024. Demand is also high for certified nurses assistants, CNAs, and licensed practical nurses, LPNs. St. Mary's recently held a nursing recruitment fair and is planning more. Linda Fahey, Decatur Memorial Hospital Chief Nursing Officer, said her hospital has recruited 45 nurses since January, but may need to average 50 a year to keep up with annual attrition rate. Fahey said the majority of the nurses DMH hires are new graduates from Millikan University and Richland Community College, though some are also from the University of Illinois and Illinois State University. But even with two colleges with nursing programs and an adult education program from the public school system for CNAs, Decatur is feeling the squeeze. Fahey said even if the number of nursing students increased, there's still a problem of would-be nurses on waiting lists to get into nursing programs because of the cost involved in running one. Quote, "Training a nurse is expensive. It takes one faculty member per 8 students," Fahey said. "The requirements for teachers are an advanced practice or doctorate degree, but that faculty isn't readily available. Schools are having trouble expanding because it's expensive and there's a faculty shortage. But we're trying to combat this. We, along with St. Mary's, have dialogues with both Richland and Millikan, trying to come up with ideas and increase the number of students they enroll. With the number of jobs rising and the numbers entering the workforce remaining stagnant, medical facilities are looking for ways to make sure they can recruit nurses. Benefit packages are at the top of the list. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics 2016-17 Occupational Outlook Handbook, the median salary for an LPN is $42,490, and for an RN, it's $66,640. Sign-on bonuses are also becoming common. Nurses also have more opportunities, particularly with the rise of nurse practitioners and nurse anesthetists. But that's only added to the shortage. Quote, "That's one thing that's wonderful for my profession. Nurses are going back to school and filling the gap for primary care in our community," Fahey said. "But that's actually made it even more difficult to find RNs. The biggest shortages are on medical units and emergency rooms," Fahey said, "especially with an aging pool of nurses. The average age of an RN at DMH is 45. It's become more difficult to staff night shifts and weekends." Quote, "Especially with more positions available out there that are daytime Monday through Friday, those bedside nurses in inpatient environments are hard to find," Fahey said. "Those positions are hard physical work with hours that aren't as attractive as you grow in your profession. We recently celebrated a nurse who had worked on our medical unit for over 40 years. That's rare. The problem," Fahey said, "is it's those positions where the best nurses are needed." Quote, "You have to always be thinking, setting priorities, and paying attention to a lot of different things," Fahey said. "Our sickest patients are in critical care and the ER. We need some experts in that area, too. But you have to really love it to do that." Those are the kinds of nurses Brown is looking for. But she said she worries that with the rapid increase in positions and money being paid to nurses, finding ones who truly love the profession will be more difficult. Quote, "Not everyone is meant to be a nurse," Brown said. "You want people who have the compassion, the heart, the gift. You want people who are doing it who aren't just about the dollar." But finding nurses isn't the only concern. Even when area medical facilities identify a qualified nurse, many of those coming out of Millikan who aren't from the area choose to return to their hometowns. Quote, "I love Decatur. I've lived here my whole life," Brown said, "but Decatur has a lot stacked against it. It's hard to get people here. It's another reason we need to look at how we can get people here and create jobs for people who have nurses in their family." While recruiting and creating more nurses remains a priority, Smith and Fahey said working smarter also can help relieve the shortage. Quote, "We want to make sure nurses' workflows utilize them to the top of their license," Smith said. Fahey said the goal is to streamline nurses' jobs and make sure other services such as housekeeping, dietary, nurses' aides, and phlebotomists are filling the roles patients often mistakenly ask nurses to do, such as fetching water and snacks, taking blood, and cleaning. Quote, "We want nurses to be nursing, not doing other things," Fahey said. Brown said solving the nursing shortage won't be easy, and Decatur's medical community will need to pool its resources to accomplish it. Quote, "We need to come together and figure out what to do about this, because what we're doing isn't enough," Brown said. I don't think there's anyone out there providing poor care because they don't have enough staff. I think we're all just figuring out how we're going to survive it. We're managing it. But there are going to be people leave and people are going to retire. With the pool we have now, it's not enough. We have to find a way to get more nursing students and then pull them in. Jim Bowling, a photographer for the Herald and Review, has 4 human interest photographs. One portrays Cassie Sadowski, LPN, on the telephone. She coordinates care with a family member of a patient, while Sandra Bell, CNA, in the background, performs charting at a nurse's station in Hickory Point Christian Village. The next photograph shows Jennifer Pisaniello, an RN, who's checking the lungs of resident Charlotte Shively at Decatur Point Christian Village. A third photograph shows the same nurse who is preparing to give medication to a client at Hickory Point Christian Village. And the final photograph shows Jordan Shaw, a young man and a registered nurse, who's coordinating with Tiffany Patterson, an LPN, at a nurse's station in Hickory Point Christian Village. Continuing with the local news, the following is in the category of government and politics. It's on page 3. It's written by Allison Petty, and the headline reads, "Horse Owners to Lose Free Rein in City Limits." Horse owners who live within city limits would receive new guidelines for the keeping of their animals under changes the Decatur City Council will consider tonight. The council is slated to vote on an amendment to city code that would require horse owners to have at least an acre per horse, as well as a stall for each animal that follows specific size guidelines. Assistant City Manager Billy Tyus said several residents over the years have asked about such requirements out of concern for themselves as neighbors and for the animals' welfare. Quote, "We're trying to find a balance for allowing for the keeping of horses and also having some level of protection for the horses and also for the residents. So this ordinance amendment is an attempt to do that," Tyus said. City code does not allow for the keeping of cattle, sheep, pigs, or goats. Other cities do not allow horses, Tyus said, but Decatur is unique in that some areas are more rural and agriculturally based. We didn't necessarily want to propose something that banned things. However, we wanted to set some parameters for allowing for it, he said. In other business, the council will consider an agreement for engineering services to fix storm drainage problems in the area of 32nd and Fulton Street. The agreement with Farnsworth Group would not exceed $80,200. The firm would meet with residents in the area, review the stormwater infrastructure, create models of the projected stormwater flow, and prepare a report that would direct the future phases of the project. Draft results are expected to be available for city staff as they plan capital projects for 2017, which would determine the timing of the design and construction phases of the project. The money comes from the storm water utility fee that the council established in April 2014 to help pay for this kind of work. We're already working on some of the high priority projects, and this is just the next in line for that, Tyus said. The council also will continue discussion of its goals during a study session following the meeting. Council members shared their priorities in January, and the city subsequently sought resident input, which will be taken into account as the goals are finalized by August. Continuing with the articles on page 3, Justin Kahn has this from Mount Zion. Checking one off the summer bucket list. When Kayla Hittmeyer asked her kids to make a summer bucket list, she had no idea it would end up reviving a neighborhood tradition. But when one of items for 10-year-old Drew Hittmeyer and 6-year-old Macy Hittmeyer was a 4th of July parade, the Rosewood Neighborhood Parade was reborn. Hittmeyer, a digital advertising specialist at the Herald and Review, said there used to be a parade in the neighborhood, but it had gone away in recent years. Reviving it wasn't much trouble. A parade that grew to as many as 40 with kids on bicycles decorated in red, white, and blue, along with what could best be described as a mobile speaker cooler playing patriotic music, began on Rosewood Drive on Monday morning. It circled around the neighborhood on North Wildwood, then took Westwood Drive back to Rosewood. Most of the parade participants traveled the route twice. Hittmeyer, who had a red, white, and blue headband, pulled Macy, sporting a matching headband, in a red wagon decorated with flag streamers. Quote, "We put flyers together and we made a Facebook page. Then we put the flyers in people's doors all around the neighborhood," Hittmeyer said. "I guess it worked. We got a decent crowd. Facebook helps. I'm glad we could bring the parade back." The flyer the Hittmeyer circulated asked participants to decorate their bikes, wagons, and scooters, and even dogs. Lindsay Reedy said she saw the announcement in her door and decided to dress up her daughter, Chloe Reedy, in red, white, and blue. Chloe's bike basket was full of American flags. Jalen Wood, 12, was up ahead of the Reedys, walking a dog with a red bandana. Woods' 6-year-old sister, Jade, wore flag colors from her hair ribbons to her tank top and lay. Her bike had red and blue tassels on the handlebars. The parade even had spectators. Dustin Fink, whose children were in the parade, pulled out a lawn chair and shouted, "America!" as the parade went by. The mobile speaker cooler, made by Hittmeyer's husband Steve, is a constant companion on family float trips. Inside the cooler is a car battery and a car radio hooked up to speakers that are attached to the outside of the cooler. It even has solar panels, which would power the stereo on a brighter day, and a holder for a smartphone, which Hittmeyer had plugged into the stereo to play the music. Quote, "It's always a conversation piece," Hittmeyer said, laughing. Pulling the wagon with the mobile speaker cooler was John Larrison, who is usually in St. Louis this time of year. Quote, "This is awesome. I can't believe how many people showed up," Larrison said of the parade. "We may have to stay home from now on." As the parade reached the end of its first lap, all the kids on bikes lined up for a photo, which was interrupted by a car coming through. Quote, "I think that's the only car we had. That's the advantage of doing it in the morning," Hittmeyer said. "Next year, I have a police friend who is going to come out and lead, and we're going to have the school's marching band, so it will be even better." Jim Bowling, photographer for the Herald and Review, has included two photographs with this article. One pictures Maddox Wright, age 4, getting a push from John Larrison to help him up a hill while taking part in the Mount Zion neighborhood 4th of July parade. Maddox is wearing an Uncle Sam's hat, and he has a red shirt and other decorations, as does the male accompanying him. Another photograph shows Nicholas Tibbs, age four, guided by his mother, Erica Tibbs, through the procession. Young Tibbs is driving a very small version of a car, also decorated. Behind the boy, we can see a line of people, including a young girl on a bicycle with her dog on a leash. Here's an article related to horses again. This one is written by Jared Jarman of the Lee News Service, and the dateline is Mattoon. Headline reads, "Horses Rekindle Memories for Mattoon Center Residents." Horses moseyed up and down the halls of the Mattoon Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center on Saturday, greeting those living there as well as visitors. Andra Ebert of Heartland Mini Hoofs, along with Sophie Zimmerman volunteer, brought Jasper and Winnie, American miniature therapy horses, both standing under 34 inches tall, to visit with those in the center. Heartland Mini Hoofs is a mini equine therapy visitation program. Ebert said she makes several visits to various areas, letting people see and pet the tiny yet full-grown horses. According to Ebert, Jasper, at 31 inches tall, is the stubborn one out of the group of therapy horses she owns, which also includes Bailey, who could not join them because of a surgery. While calm at home, the chestnut-haired horse often gets difficult when trying to get him to go on visits. On the other hand, Winnie, the baby of the group, is a white and black buckskin horse who is considered the touchy one. Quote, "Every once in a while, parents have a child that touches everything," Ebert said. "That is Winnie." Strapped with colorful manure bags and handle-saddled, the two took a stroll through the center. While the weekend visitors were more mini than what is normally expected, for some in the center, horses were a common part of their adult or childhood life. Rekindled memories of their past with horses surfaced as the two animals greeted them. Jane Dawson, who lives in the center, said she often was around horses when she was a child because of her grandfather who owned horses. Saturday was the first time in a long time she had seen horses again. Quote, "I haven't seen those since I was a little kid," Dawson said. Diane German of the city's center's activities department said, like with other therapy animals, the horses do a good job of evoking memories from clients' pasts, as well as getting them active in some way. Quote, "They love anything with fur," she said. Zimmerman said the horses just bring a smile to their faces. Kevin Kilhofer of the Lee News Service has an interesting photo showing Sophie Zimmerman of Heartland Mini Hoofs, who is showing Winnie, a miniature therapy horse, to residents at the Mattoon Rehabilitation and Healthcare in Mattoon. "I can tell you that the horse is absolutely adorable, and the residents and their guests, every one of them, have huge smiles on their faces," as does Sophie Zimmerman. Let's find out what our advice columnists are saying today. Here's the first letter to Abby, who is Jean Phillips. "Dear Abby, I recently had my lover of 11 years arrested for domestic violence. It was the hardest thing I have ever done. He had me isolated and cut off from the world, and without family around, I felt extremely lonely and fragile. Looking back, I see how wanting to be loved and not alone caused me to let so many intolerable things happen. No one should ever have to be bruised and battered physically, psychologically, and verbally by anyone. I pray others read this and will do the right thing which is to press charges if necessary, and find the strength to leave, as painful as it may be. That letter is signed by Starting Counseling Soon in L.A. Here's Abby's reply. Dear Starting, I'm glad you found the strength to do that. Counseling will help. Trust me on that. Readers, I haven't printed the warning signs of an abuser in a while, so here they are. 1. Pushes for quick involvement. Comes on strong, claiming, I've never felt loved like this by anyone. An abuser pressures the new partner for an exclusive commitment almost immediately. 2. Jealous. Excessively possessive calls constantly or visits unexpectedly prevents you from going to work because you might meet someone checks the mileage on your car. 3. Controlling. If you are late, interrogates you intensively about whom you talked to and where you were. Keeps all the money, insists you ask permission to go anywhere or do anything. 4. Unrealistic expectations. Expects you to be the perfect mate and meet his or her every need. 5. Isolation. Tries to isolate you from family and friends. Accuses people who are your supporters of causing trouble. The abuser may deprive you of a phone or car or try to prevent you from holding a job. 6. Blames others for problems or mistakes. It's always somebody else's fault if something goes wrong. 7. Makes others responsible for his or her feelings. The abuser says you make me angry instead of I am angry, or says you're hurting me by not doing what I tell you. 8. Hypersensitivity. Is easily insulted, claiming hurt feelings when he or she is really mad. Rants about the injustice of things that are just a part of life. 9. Cruelty to animals or children. Kills or punishes animals brutally. Also may expect children to do things that are far beyond their ability. Whips a 3-year-old for wetting a diaper, for example. Or may tease them until they cry. 65% of abusers who beat their partners will also abuse children. 10. Playful use of force during sex. Playful in quotes. Enjoys throwing you down or holding you down against your will during sex. Finds the idea of rape exciting. 11. Verbal abuse. Constantly criticizes or says blatantly cruel things, degrades, curses, calls you ugly names. This may involve sleep deprivation, waking you with relentless verbal abuse. 12. Rigid gender roles, expects you to serve, obey, remain at home. 13. Sudden mood swings, switches from sweet to violent in minutes. 14. Past battering. Admits to hitting a mate in the past, but says the person made him or her do it. 15. Threats of violence. Says things like, I'll break your neck or I'll kill you, and then dismisses them with, everybody talks that way, or I didn't really mean it. Readers, if you feel you are at risk, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or thehotline.org. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the July 5th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.